Turn with me to Luke 17. In a moment, I'm going to read verses 11 through 19. But first of all, I do have an announcement to make of something that's pretty important. The session had a special meeting on this past Tuesday night, and voted unanimously to enter into negotiation with the Parks Department of City of Meridian for the use of the center over at Kleiner Park. Many of you were there. As I look around, I don't know if everybody here was there. We met there a couple of weeks ago because the occasion arose that we could not meet here. And, of course, one of the things that we're dealing with is, and God bless the leadership here at Cloverdale, because this space has been a wonderful gift for over a year now, and has enabled us to put money in the bank, and so we are so grateful for the folks here, and their hospitality has just been fantastic. But one of the limitations that we face is that when they need the use of this space, we need to look elsewhere, obviously. And so we'd like to get into something that would, number one, we will be guaranteed to have it because we will be paying for it. Number two, that would give us a little room to grow also. Here we're maxed out. Many of you already know the rule of 80%. When you hit 80% of seating capacity, you are full. And it doesn't make any difference if there's empty seats. When you hit 80%, you're full. It will not grow beyond that. The time constraints here are such that we cannot do two services here. So the space at over at Kleiner Park, we've been referring to it as the Senior Center. That's actually not its name. It's just called the Center at Kleiner Park. So don't feel like it's making us old if we, you know, if we go over there. We are going to negotiate with them, and they have already agreed to a much reduced price if we can make them a commitment. But we also want to have the ability that when we find a permanent place to lease, that we will be able to, on, you know, a fairly short notice, to get out of our arrangement there so that we can move into a permanent space that we will have 7 days a week. And that's still the ultimate goal. But the center at Kleiner Park would give us some real advantages. And as you know, if you were there a couple of weeks ago, very, very nice space. Be watching your email, because that's where we'll give you a notice that if we're going to make that move, that's how you'll get word, is by email. And if you are not on our email list, there are some cards out here. Look for Rebecca. If you can't find her, find me so that you can get on our email list. If you don't have email or you would like to be notified by phone, we can do that too. Just we need to have a number. So let us know. Now, back to Luke. As I told you, next Sunday is Palm Sunday, so I really wanted to come back to Jesus today and his journey to Jerusalem. And today's text begins with the words, as he was on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus encountered these 10 lepers. It's a special focus in Luke. Of course, it's in all of the Gospels. Luke makes a special focus of it, that there's a turning point in the middle of Luke's gospel where Luke says that Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he knows that the cross is waiting for him there. His mission, he knows, because of the Father's call, his mission is to go to Jerusalem where he will be rejected, he will be mistreated, he will be unjustly tried and convicted. He will be executed on the cross. And 3 days later, rise. So Luke begins this little incident with that reminder that he's on his way to Jerusalem. So I'm going to read Luke 17 and verses 11 to 19. Hear now the word of God. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to him, "Rise and go. Go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem and he enters a village that is somewhere on the border between Galilee and Samaria. And you're probably aware that not only as faithful Jews would consider lepers to be unclean, a Samaritan leper is like double nasty unclean. These people they're considered half-breeds and heretics. They are the people on whom many devout Jews look down. So Jesus is on this border area between Galilee and Samaria, and he's approached by 10 lepers. And these lepers, what an irony that these rejected, outcast people are obedient to the Word of God. You heard the text a few minutes ago from the book of Numbers. Lepers were commanded to keep their distance. They're to stay outside. And I don't even know where to go to that except to say that what an irony, and God bless these people. They are being obedient to God's word, to their hurt, as they are isolated out there. They're required to maintain at least 10 feet of separation in order to protect others from being infected by the disease that they have. The term leprosy in the Bible could refer to any variety of skin conditions, not necessarily what we today call leprosy or Hansen's disease, but some kind of a degenerative skin condition that eats away at the flesh. It's a horrible way to live and a horrible way to die. So from a distance, these 10 lepers cried out to Jesus for mercy. Now, what I want to do with this account from Luke is look at 4 possible responses to Jesus. And this is the first possible response to Jesus that we see here is to keep him at a distance. There's a whole lot of people in our world who have admiration for Jesus. They may want to hope that Jesus can do something for them, but they also want to keep him at a distance. Even if something is eating away at their life, something is killing them. But if Jesus were to come close, he might heal it and take it away. And so you got to keep him at a distance. To me, it's fascinating that we know nothing about these 10 lepers except that they're lepers. We don't know their names. We don't know their vocation. We don't know what their past life before leprosy might have been. Each one of them is somebody's son, somebody's daughter, somebody's mother, somebody's father, somebody's husband, somebody's wife. But now they're just lepers, and that's all we know about them. They weren't born lepers, were they? Each one of them has a story. Each one of them has a life that they once had apart from leprosy. The disease forces everybody else to remain at a distance. It's as if leprosy has completely taken over their identities. Now, I have a question for you. I have a couple of questions. Here's the first one. What do you think it is that keeps people at a distance from Jesus? Fear. Yeah. I used to very quickly jump to the conclusion that it was pride. And it probably is that for a lot of folks. But perhaps more often, it's fear. People think, I'm unclean. I can't come near to him. What would the Lord want with me? I've messed up my life too much. And more than being afraid of Jesus, a whole lot of people in our world are afraid of the church. If I went into that place, they wouldn't accept me. If I went into that place, they'd have nothing to do with me. They would judge me. And when you've grown accustomed in life to keeping your distance, it's hard to approach even a Savior who invites you to come. Okay, now, I have another question for you. What does the Church of Jesus Christ, our congregation included, what does the Church of Jesus Christ have to offer to outcast people? Love? Yeah, hopefully. Forgiveness? Grace, mercy, community. Safe place, acceptance. Amen. Ultimately, and all those answers are right, but ultimately, isn't it Jesus? Jesus is what we have. You know, community is great. You can get that at the corner bar. Service, you know, well, you know, we do service projects in the community. So does the Lions Club. Fellowship. Hang out at Starbucks and make a friend. The one thing that the Church of Jesus Christ has to offer that's absolutely unique that no other organization in the world offers is Jesus himself. Well, you know, witty and charming preacher, okay. But don't be laughing at me, Chuck. What we have to offer is Jesus, that people can come and meet him and get close to him and be cleansed by him and made whole by him. The whole message of the Bible is don't stand back from Jesus. Rush toward Him. He is God in the flesh. He's the embodiment of God come among us. And when you know Him as Savior, He takes the broken and makes them whole. He takes the unclean and cleanses. He gives hope where there was despair. No one else can do that. No other force on this planet can do that. No one but Jesus gives eternal life. And to the full. As He said, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Jesus tells us that God refused to stay at a distance from us. We would stay at a distance from Him, but in Jesus, God comes near. And He drops His guard all the way, and all the way to the cross. The shadow of the cross is over this entire encounter. Remember, as He was on His way to Jerusalem. Well, seeing these lepers, Jesus told them, go, show yourselves to the priests. Now, there's a reason for that. They were being obedient to the commandments by keeping their distance. Jesus is being obedient to the law of God by telling them, go see the priests. Because only the priest could inspect a leper and say, yeah, it's gone. You don't have it anymore. Only the priests were authorized to do that. And only the priests could restore someone to community who's been separated because of having leprosy. Now, this is kind of interesting because usually or very often other similar incidents, Jesus healed somebody first and then said, go to the priests. In this instance, He says, go. And it's as they're on their way to see the priests, all of a sudden they realize, hey, I'm cleansed. He told them to start walking. Now, why? Perhaps it's because when you've been crippled by fear, the only antidote is to finally reach the place where you say, I'm not going to be a victim anymore. I'm not going to be helpless anymore. I'm going to move. I'm going to do what Jesus told me to do. So Jesus is telling them to take steps that move them toward healing. And as they went, they discovered they're made clean. Now, one of the ten, who was a Samaritan, we don't know if they were all Samaritans, by the way. We just know this one was a Samaritan. One turned around and went back to say, thank you. This is the second response to Jesus that we see in this brief encounter. The second kind of response is to turn toward Him in gratitude. Now, apparently this is a really difficult thing to do because the ratio in this story is not very good. 9 out of 10 found this to be so inconvenient that they didn't bother. Turn back toward Jesus in the recognition that not only that Jesus has cleansed you of sin and healed what is broken in you, and even before you were grateful, by the way. He didn't wait for you to be grateful. And Jesus has given you every good gift that you have in your life. Family, health, skills and abilities, whatever resources that you have, the home that you live in. Every one of these things is a gift from a generous God. They're all gifts from a God who refused to keep a distance from us. Remember that all 10 were healed. And they all got to keep their blessing. You know, there's no indication that, you know, those that didn't come back to say thank you were zapped with, you know. So, ingratitude never stopped anybody from receiving a blessing from God or healing from God. Remember that Jesus said the rain falls on who? The just and the unjust. God's not stingy with His blessings. But I can guarantee you something. It's not here in the text, but well, okay, I'm guessing, but I'm thinking that this is true. Those nine that didn't come back, they just walked away. Every time they saw a slightest little speck of white on a fingertip, they went into a panic. It's coming back. Because when you refuse to say thank you, when you refuse to acknowledge that the blessing has come from Him, you just grab your blessing and run. It doesn't mean you use the blessing. It means you miss the peace that comes from knowing Him. And it's in that personal encounter of knowing Him, beginning to trust Him, to know His character, to know His presence in your life. That's where the peace comes from. Now, let's not be too quick to jump to casting ourselves. And I always do this, by the way. I have a bad habit with anything in the Bible. I always cast myself as the good guy. That's me, that guy that came back. Okay, amen. We're done now. Lest we be too quick to jump there, there is a third response to Jesus. When the healed leper who came back, when he got to Jesus, he threw himself on the ground at Jesus' feet. That's the third response in that story, total submission to the Savior. Many of us are willing to come back and say thank you, but we still want to keep our distance. You know, we can do this in church. Now, I decided this morning, and you people in the back row are just going to have to be good sports about this. But and you people in the front row are going to have to be good sports too, because and you people in the front row have actually messed up my illustration by sitting in the front row, because I was going to say that, you know, there's a reason nobody likes to sit in the front row at church. You know, you don't want to get too close to the fire. And we're all tempted to say, thank you, Jesus. Yay, there you are, way off there. Thank you. We're so happy. Yes, thank you. Back row. We thank you so much, Jesus. Oh, no, you just stay right up there, Jesus. You don't have to come back here. See you next week. To get to this third kind of response to Christ is to get to the place where we throw ourselves at His feet and recognizing, as Jesus said, that unless a grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, it can't grow into something new. This Jesus is on His way to the cross, and for us to throw ourselves at His feet is to embrace the cross and to die to ourselves daily as He commanded. That's where we get to the place where, along with the Apostle Paul, we can say, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now you're worshiping Christ. And not for His instrumental benefits to you, but just for His sake and to know Him. And it's all about your relationship and not just what He can give you. And the key here, only those who make it to the feet of Jesus are truly free. If you make your prayers and if your relationship to Him is only based upon what He's given you or material blessings, then you're going to be insecure all the time. You're going to be fearful all the time. Once again, the 9 out of 10 that didn't come back, they went into a panic every time they saw a little white spot. Every blessing you have is only loaned to you, whether it's family or children or work or health or home or possessions, even life itself. Everything you and I have is stamped return to sender. And eventually we will, even life, we're going to surrender back to Him. That's why we need to throw ourselves at the feet of a Savior that we cannot lose and hold on to Him. Jesus finally told the man at his feet, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." And this is the fourth and final response to Jesus, to go on your way as a person made whole. And I think this is so much more than the healing of the body. Because remember, this man's body was already healed. The other 9 were already healed. When Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well," he must be talking about something more, something deeper. When your faith is not just in the blessing, but in the giver, then you're free. Free to serve Him, free to give, free to welcome others in His name. Brothers and sisters, I know it's our heart as a church. We want to grow our church. And that's part of the reason that we're looking to be in a bigger place. But if we don't welcome Jesus there, if we don't welcome Jesus here, it doesn't make any difference where we are. We could be in the most beautiful stained glass cathedral in town. By the way, last weekend, I was helping out with the Walk to Emmaus, and it was held down at the beautiful Cathedral of the Rockies, you know, First United Methodist Church. Maybe you've been in there. Gorgeous, gorgeous sanctuary. You know, I had this little fantasy as I was there that the pastor would come to me and say, "Phil, we're tired of this building." And wouldn't you just like to, yes. You could be in the most gorgeous building in town. By the way, that's a great ministry down there. Certainly not taking anything away from them. You can be in the most gorgeous cathedral in town, and if God's not there, it's just a box. If Jesus isn't there, no one's going to be made new. And Jesus comes where He is honored and where He is invited, and where hearts and lives are open to Him, where a fellowship is open to Him. Christ Presbyterian Church, live into your name. Run to Him. And let's together throw ourselves at His feet. Amen? Let's bow. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your mighty power that has cleansed us and made us new and whole. Thank You for Your call to go our way, following You, because You have made us new and whole and given us a new life. See, I thank You that You've called this congregation together. Lord Jesus, there are many churches in this town where You are present today, and we thank You for this church where You've called us together, and thank You for this place. Lord Jesus, we pray, honor us with your presence. Come among us in power, in the presence and power of your Holy Spirit, that people throughout this community will know this is a place where people come to meet Jesus. And we pray it in your holy and precious name. Amen.